What's going on, everybody? We welcome you back for the 10th episode of the Sports Hour podcast. And on this early anniversary episode, guys, we are going to be diving into what may be the most exciting time in all sports, March Madness, getting into our brackets. And I think all of us have been waiting for this episode ever since we started.
College football, of course, is fun for us. Being from Ole Miss, being in the SEC part of the country, being professional baseball fans, Toby, of course, a Cubs fan, me, a Cardinals fan, but
there's no Braves fan.
There's no better feeling as a sports fan than right now in March when the springtime is starting to rain outside and you get to go in the gym and get to watch some good basketball this time of year. It's no better feeling than a sports fan to know that March Madness has begun.
No doubt about it, and we're going to have plenty to talk about in this episode of basketball. But before we get into that, let's touch quickly on college baseball because it was a big weekend in which we saw number one fall in a series for the first time this year, which vaulted the Ole Miss Rebels to the top in many rankings, including most of our own. I believe most of us all put the Rebels at one pretty consistently.
Yeah, I think Ole Miss proved that they were the best team in the country this past weekend. Finally got the shot at number one. Took a tough loss tonight, but you know Southeastern Louisiana isn't a pushover team by any means. But I think the Rebels will bounce back, have a huge win, a huge series this weekend, and I think that's going to kind of put the tail of the tape per se to how good this Rebel team is going to be on this pretty tough SEC schedule.
Grady, you can pull up your top 25. I've got it right here. Okay. Toby, you can pull yours up as well. I'll start with Grady's because I abstained from picking for obvious reasons. And Ole Miss at one for you, Grady. Vandy at two, Texas at three, Arkansas at four, and Tennessee at five to round out the top five. Other notables, Florida State at eight, Florida at nine, Liberty at 12, Arizona at 16, Stanford at 14, Texas Tech at 17. You've got South Carolina at 20, Texas State at 21, Gonzaga energy ranking this week at 24, and the Mississippi State Bulldogs are left out.
I watched them against Big Hampton yesterday, and it was a good ball game, 5-5 up to the eighth inning. It was a close ball game, and to see them lose an ace pitcher like Landon Sims, I mean, it's going to be hard for the Bulldogs to bounce back to. And I feel like if you ask a majority of Mississippi State Bulldog baseball fans right now, I think they would tell you that they're not a top 25 team right now. That's no slight to their team. I mean, it's still early, but it's hard to overcome not only him, but I believe another pitcher that they have, a long reliever, has also had to have Tommy John surgery, which is a season-ending injury for him. So it's going to be a tough uphill battle for the Bulldogs, but I know if any team can do it, and any coach can get a team to go in the right direction with like Lemonis, they'll be going in the right direction here soon.
Yeah, it's not just Landon Sims who's out with Tommy John. It is also Stone Simmons. So the Bulldogs starting pitching has taken quite a hit over the past couple of weeks. Now, I would, in my rank again, I didn't rank, had personal stuff going on, but if I was to rank the top 25, I would have put the Bulldogs in at about 24, 25. I still think they have the talent of a top 25 team. They haven't put it all together yet, but I still think they're close to it. Toby, you left out the Bulldogs as well, didn't you?
I did. I had Ole Miss at number one, Texas at number two. I had Vanderbilt at three, Arkansas at four, Notre Dame, who's making a big jump. I honestly could see them going into top three next week. Oregon State at six, Tennessee at seven. Florida there at eight, Georgia Tech, who I think is playing really solid this year at nine. Liberty, again, who I think is a sleeper team, a really good team overall. LSU at 11, have Oklahoma State at 12, UNC at 13, Arizona at 14. Clemson makes a big jump in my bracket at 15, Texas Tech at 16, 17 at TCU. I have 18 at Texas State, really underrated team. Probably a team that's going to make some noise all throughout the rest of the year, in my opinion. Number 19, I got Virginia. Number 20, I had Georgia. Number 21, Maryland. Number 22, Gonzaga. Had a big weekend series win. Number 23, I had Old Dominion. Number 24, USC. And number 25, I had Connecticut.
I give you a lot of flack a lot of times, Toby, but I actually do like the Old Dominion pick. They're usually a quality baseball team. And I don't believe they hosted a regional last year. No, they didn't, because they didn't apply for a COVID regional, even though most agreed they would have been a shoo-in because they were a national seed, but they did not apply to host. And but yeah, so Old Dominion always a solid ball club. I think that's a really good pick in your top 25.
And I think I wanted to put Mississippi State there at 25, but they're not proving anything to me that they deserve to be there. So until they can prove to me that they can get some quality wins down the back half of the season or getting into SEC play, they won't make my 25.
I know we're bashing Mississippi State right now, in a way, I guess, but I wanted to jump on Ole Miss real quick where it wasn't really a thing where Ole Miss earned the number one seed over the weekend. I wouldn't say it to any stretch we really earned that. I feel like in game two this weekend, we had three errors in that game. Game three, of course, we all three were there for game three, and I don't think any of us could say we played a really well-played ball game that game. And Mike Bianco could also – you could hear in his body language after the game, post-game conference he had, he was also saying that we didn't play very well. It was just something to me that it felt like it fell into our lap, the number one seed. And I mean, that's not something that you would say if you're not hoping for a – if you're not holding your team to a higher standard, and then you have Southeast Louisiana today losing 5-1 to them, having a two-game losing streak going into the weekend, opening the SEC series. I mean, we like to nitpick with Ole Miss, but, I mean, it's something to sort of hinder you in the back of your mind.
The Rebs won the weekend series, but they didn't look particularly good doing it besides game one.
Right. Yeah.
And I think going into number one, kind of nerves were high in a way. That was a trap game. Even if we would have sat there at number one, I still think that was a trap game. Coming off that same team who beat Arkansas 1-1, they're definitely a tough ball club. There's a team that really throughout the rest of the year they could probably win their conference and make some noise into the regionals. Maybe could even host a super regional. Not completely sure, but I think they are a team that it was no pushover. And I think just the Rebs, they just kind of played flat. When you have to play catch up the whole game, that's not going to look good when you get down those later innings 7, 8, 9, and you're having to defend to put so much pressure on your middle of the order to try to get you back in a ball game where you should have been there the whole game.
No, yeah, that's a great point. Grady, you have something, and then we'll need to move on, but go ahead.
I was going to say, Southeastern Louisiana, I mean, they're an 8-9 ball club. I mean, that's not a superb ball club. Of course, they beat Arkansas, they beat Ole Miss. But that's not really a ball club that you look to see that would knock off a number one team in the nation, even in a midweek game. Also, Oral Roberts, I mean, they have a good record, but we beat them 16-2 Friday night. I mean, that's just a team that I felt we took lightly the rest of the week. Yeah, I feel like it's not really physically as a team we're not there. It's just mentally we take games off.
No, I think you're exactly right.
I want to reiterate, I didn't mean to say they would host a super regional.
But let's move into our picks. I don't know. I actually think we failed to discuss it. It is just me, Grady, and Toby tonight. The other members of the Sports Hour podcast are either on the road with the Ole Miss baseball team or they're at home away with family or on trips. So we will make our picks tonight on the air, and we will get their picks and keep tallies. If you didn't listen along last week, we are going to pick series every weekend for college baseball. Now we'll move into picking pretty much consistently SEC series. In the first week, Grady leads with 5. I'm right behind with 4. Chuck and Buzz tied at 3. Garrett at 2. And Toby is in dead last at 1.
I regret calling the upset win on Princeton, and I regret calling the sweep for Ole Miss, but I thought the series was there for us to take a series sweep, but I should have called just a win.
Hey, it's a long season. There's plenty of time. But remember, if you pick a series win, you get 1 point. If you pick a series sweep, you get 2 points. And if you don't pick it correctly, whether it be a sweep or a win, you get nothing. So let's start with the Mississippi State Bulldogs. They host the only top 25 battle of the weekend as they go on the road into Athens to play number 20 Georgia. Grady, let's start with you.
I'll go with Georgia winning the series. I think Mississippi State will win one game of that series, but I believe that Georgia will come in on top 2 out of 3.
I'm right there with you. I think this will be a really good series. I think this is going to be a true test to see how good Georgia is. I'm really high on Georgia this year. I think they'll get the job done. I think they'll take 2. Mississippi State will win the Sunday game.
I'm eager to see how State responds this weekend, but go ahead and pick me.
I think that's exactly where I was heading with it, too. I believe that Mississippi State's going to come out on fire, motivated. I think they're going to win Friday night, and I think Georgia will get the back end sweep. So I think Georgia will win the series, but Mississippi State will take the first game and have the home team on their heels.
So we're all...
Yes, all in agreement there. Let's go now to South Carolina, who had maybe the biggest series win in the country over number one Texas last weekend. they go on the road to face number 7 Tennessee, and what a reward that is. All right, congrats, you beat the top team, now go on the road to play maybe. While still the jury may be out, if Ole Miss isn't the number one, I think Tennessee might be the best team in the SEC.
And in my opinion, I think they're the second best team in college baseball right now.
I think that's foreshadowing to a huge weekend in Oxford in 2 weeks for Tennessee and Ole Miss. But I'll go ahead and make my pick for that series. I've got Tennessee winning 2 out of 3 that weekend, too. I think Tennessee is a tough ball club. A team that can hit the ball. They got a guy coming out of the pin throwing 99 to 103 miles an hour. I think they're going to take that series win in Knoxville this weekend.
For me, I think everything's set up for South Carolina to pull it out and get a huge series win. As an Ole Miss fan, I do not want that to happen because I think Tennessee would come into Oxford and play with a chip on their shoulder and beat the brakes off of us, or at least try to. I'm gonna pick Tennessee to win it in 2. I think South Carolina will probably win the splitter on Saturday, and Tennessee will take Friday and Sunday. But I think that could be like one of the best series, probably of the first of the year. I think that could be one of the best series.
The emotional highs of knocking off a top team will get you, and I think it's going to doom the Gamecocks this week. I think Tennessee sweeps at home in the opening series. Now let me reiterate, South Carolina's a dang good ball club. I think every game is no more than 2 or 3 runs.
Okay.
But I don't think they get blown out in any of them. But I do think the emotional high coming off that series win against the Longhorns is going to doom the Gamecocks a little bit on the road. And I think Tennessee's going to be ready to play. They're 16-1. They've looked fantastic so far. I've got the Vols to sweep.
Yeah, I think it could go either way. Either they could ride the momentum and get a big series win, or all the momentum they left down there and when they played Texas. So I agree.
Texas dropped a midweek game today too, as well.
Who did? To Charleston.
To Charleston. Yeah.
Yes.
All signs are pointing to probably Vanderbilt taking number one.
Now, let's say this. If Ole Miss sweeps this weekend, or even if they win 2 out of 3, they may still retain number 1.
I think they'll still be the number 1 best.
But regardless, we'll see. Texas A&M and LSU, I feel like this is one that most of us are going to agree on. I'm going to go sweep for the Tigers at home. Texas A&M is just – they're rebuilding. They've got to get that program back to where it was just a few years ago. But they're not there at this point. Dropped a tough midweek to Houston tonight. 10-6 on the year. The LSU is rolling at 13-3. I like the Tigers to sweep at home.
I'll go with the LSU series win. I won't go with the sweep. SEC baseball is so hard to sweep, especially in the first week, so I'm going to go series win.
I'm also going to agree with you, Grady. I think it'll be a series win on LSU's part. I think they'll drop the first game to Texas A&M. A lot of momentum, a lot of trying to set the pace, but I think on the back half, LSU will get it together, and I think they'll win. Probably a closer series than what you're thinking, like you were saying for the last series. Probably each game decided by 3 runs or less.
Now let's move to Fayetteville, where Arkansas will host Kentucky, who comes in at 14-4. Now, they did lose a midweek at Indiana tonight, 22-7. Gave up 21 runs in a midweek. Midweek games can be tough, but giving up 20 in a midweek game, that's tough. But, Grady, we'll start with you.
I'm going to say with this series, I feel like Kentucky, we talk about A&M as a rebuilding baseball team. And Kentucky, I've watched them in a lot of midweeks earlier in the season so far, and they seem like a ball club that's just sort of struggling so far earlier in the year. So I'm going to go with Arkansas on a sweep of Kentucky to start the season.
I think everything's there for an upset. Kentucky, again, is a more of a struggling team, but they are rebuilding. Some of the highlights I've watched and some of the stuff I've read about Kentucky is that they look to be kind of a mid-card, to wrestling terms, a mid-card program. I think everything could be there for an upset. I think on at least one of the games that'll close could go to extra innings, but I can call Arkansas winning in a series. I think Kentucky will win one game, but I don't think it'll be a sweep, and I think one of those games probably could flip to Kentucky winning it.
That's a good pick. I like Arkansas winning the series, not in a sweep as well. Not really because of Kentucky necessarily, but Arkansas's bats have struggled a little bit at times this year, as well as their pitching at some points. Now, Arkansas still looks like a top-5 team because they're Arkansas and they've just got so much talent. They're going to put it all together. But as of now, Arkansas doesn't quite seem like they have it all together at this point. So I'm going to take the Razorbacks winning 2 out of 3. I think they win the first 2, and then Kentucky takes game 3.
Yeah, I think like what you were saying, it's one of those things that the bats are either going to wake up or they're going going to play flat this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's move to Nashville, where the Commodores of Vanderbilt, number four in the nation, will face off against Missouri. Missouri 12-2 in the year. That's not typical for Missouri baseball.
This is kind of a sleeper series, honestly. Like, this could be a series that Vanderbilt could very well get upset. I personally don't think they will, but it's very one that, you know, Missouri could sneak around and win two games. But I'm gonna play it safe. I'm gonna pick Vanderbilt 2 out of 3. I think Missouri will again win one game. Missouri will probably win. I'm gonna say that Friday night game, that back half. I think Vanderbilt will finally put it together and win. But I think it'll be a closer series than what people may think.
I'll go Vanderbilt with a series win.
I'm going to Vanderbilt with a series win, too. I think we're all in agreement there. You know, I picked a couple sweeps early on, and I'm tempted to pick it there. But that first weekend of SEC is just so tough.
Yeah. Everybody's on upset alert.
Yes, everybody is on upset alert, no doubt. So I'm going to go Commodores and Ace, series win. Florida and Alabama and Tuscaloosa. I want to start this one off. I'm going with the Crimson Tide with the series upset win. Not a sweep, but a win. I don't trust the Gators yet. I don't. I haven't bought the hype into them. Lost that opening series to Liberty. Dropped a game along the way as well. And then lost to Seton Hall tonight. I just don't trust the Gators. I don't trust necessarily... their coach's name has slipped my mind. But... You know, I just don't, like we said, somebody's on SEC or upset alert.
You're picking
that first conference, and I think they're the one that gets caught this weekend. So I'm going to take Florida to get upset by Alabama on the road.
I think of all of Florida's losses, all their teams that they have lost to have been decent teams. Mm-hmm. So they haven't lost to anybody, I think.
They haven't lost to that one that you're like, wow. Yeah. Like, you know.
I think you're right, though. I think of all the teams that I think could get upset, Florida is, especially coming rolling into Tuscaloosa. Give me Alabama an upset. I'm gonna take Alabama in a series win. I think Florida will win one game of that, but I think it's there. I think upset is there.
Give me Florida in a series win.
All right, so me and Toby are in agreement. Grady's got the Gators. Final series, and then we move on to March Madness. Ole Miss and Auburn. Grady, let's start with you.
Oh, last year we swept Auburn right in our first SEC series last year. I think it's going to be tough for Ole Miss after struggling these past few days playing. I'm going to go with a series win for Ole Miss. Even though we are struggling, I feel like Coach Bianco will have them going in the right direction, especially this weekend. So I'm saying we're going to win Friday, Saturday, and it's still up in the air on who we will have going this weekend pitching-wise, but that's my decision right now, so I'm going with a series win for the Rebels.
I personally hope it's Diamond Gaddis McDaniels. That's me. If this series was being played in Oxford, Mississippi, I would call a sweep. Because it's being played in Auburn, I'm not going to call it a sweep. I think Ole Miss... I don't want to say the bats are teetering at the moment because I know how lethal that lineup is, but they're teetering a little bit. I think this is a series that you can get your bats going, heading further into SEC play. I personally don't know how the pitching is going to completely manifest when it comes to startings, but I think Ole Miss will do just enough to get a close, tough series this weekend.
I don't want to say they're doing this, but I think they're doing this.
I think they're going to do this.
I just pick at you, Toby. I'm going to go series win for Ole Miss as well. Auburn comes off a loss to Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Yes, at home. And so this is a ball club that I think is going to come out and play with a chip on their shoulder. We know they're talented. Beat Texas Tech on the opening weekend of the year. I mean, this is a team that we know has got talent, and winning on the road in SEC baseball is tough. It's a lot tougher than people give it credit
for. Especially when you get number one at home, that automatically makes it where you're going to play a whole lot harder than what you would have if you'd have been there too.
I feel like Ole Miss has to exercise those number one demons, dropped it tonight now to Southeastern Louisiana. So, I mean, I feel like the Rebels are just due to finally get that series win as number one.
My weakness so far for Ole Miss, and of course it hasn't been exposed as much lately because we're the number one team in the country, but as SEC play progresses. We see if our bats struggle, it's sort of hard for us to score runs, A, but our pitching is sort of mediocre at best right now with starting pitching, not to say.
If the bats don't back up the starting pitching, we struggle.
Of course, early on, we were running people. I mean, just 16-2, 15-2, like all these like large scoring, and the other team just sort of just laid down for us. What will happen when we get in a dogfight with somebody? Can we go stride for stride in pitching, and can we go stride for stride in scoring runs? With Oral Roberts this weekend, we played, and it was 5-4 for two or three innings, like close game for a certain amount of time, and we couldn't score a run. We couldn't push one across. So my question going forward, especially into this opening SEC weekend, is can the Rebels score, and can we score on a legitimate basis?
That's a very
Do you think, just quickly, and we'll move on.
Go ahead.
Do you think us scoring so many runs toward the open of the season has kind of had its drawbacks, where the pitching hasn't been, you know, had to be super dominant early? So as we've kind of seen, as we've been playing a little bit tougher opponents, they've struggled a little bit. Do you think that has been some kind of vice toward that?
Oh, I mean, any baseball player will tell you it's an adjustment when you go from seeing a fastball from some of the midweek teams you might play that's 86, 87, to then you're on a Friday night in the SEC where the dude's humming 94, 95. 94, it's a difference.
94, 95, of course, but they have two or three pitches in their arsenal that they can control.
It ain't fastball and changeup. One of them's mixing in a slider, a 12-6 curve. You know,
a split finger.
You're seeing these guys. The pitching gap from low midweek games to high profile SEC games is one of the more, I would say, and obviously I've not played against it, but just watching it is one of the toughest adjustments to make on a dime.
And another thing too, and Chuck was here, he could attest for this, now that SEC play is starting and things have started sort of taking a toll as the season's gone along, scouting reports are now being made about the Ole Miss Rebels. How can we pitch around these guys and how can we get them out? And this weekend we're going to see how these guys pitch to us. They won't give Tim Elko those bell-top fastballs anymore because they know that guy can hit it a long way. They're not going to throw Jacob Gonzalez those bell-top fastballs anymore. They're going to make sure they throw it in the dirt. They're going to make sure that these guys see good pitching. It's going to be, like I said, how can we execute the small things this weekend and win the ball game, unlike we did in the UCF series.
I'd like to see what Coach is going to do this weekend about the lineup. I think some adjustments need to be made, some movements in the lineup needs to be made. Not necessarily taking guys out of the lineups, dropping them in the order, moving people up in the order, trying to see who can be there that's going to give you that spark you need heading into SEC play.
I think that's a great point. But now that we've talked baseball, let's move on to March Madness because we've got a whole 64 team bracket to talk about in about 35 minutes. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through each game and we'll start in the West region and we'll move down. So what we'll do is we'll go through, obviously everybody will have the same games at the start, and then when we go into the round of 32, you'll list what game you have and your winner there, and we'll try to keep up with it as best we are. Let's make sure to go slow so that everybody can understand, because obviously trying to visualize 64 teams is tough. So let's start with Gonzaga at Georgia State. Is anybody picking that one seed upset? If not, we can quickly move it along from here.
Well, Gonzaga's the number one overall seed. They're there for a reason, so I guess we could all say Gonzaga is moving on in that game.
Zags, yeah. Okay, Boise State, Memphis. This is the first swing game. Grady, who you got?
Okay, I'm going to go in a short little thing about that. Boise State, I watched them play Ole Miss earlier in the year, and Boise State didn't look like a very, very good team to me. They looked like a sort of mediocre team to me. Memphis, when they played Ole Miss, they were sort of struggling at that time. Then they played rather well down the stretch. So I'm going to go with Memphis. I think they're going to pull it out and get that win in that first round game.
I'm rolling with the Tigers too. I think like exactly what you said. I think they finally started putting it together. And I think they're going to get a pretty great game between them and Boise State.
Seems like we're all in agreement. I'm going to go with Memphis as well. Took 2-3 from Houston, beat Virginia Tech, beat Alabama, beat SMU. This is a team that started off really badly and looked like they were destined to miss the tournament, and then they got hot in ACC or AAC play.
They lost to the Rebs.
But you know, Penny Hardaway's got this team playing right at the bit, you know, at the right time of the year. So I'm gonna go with the Tigers. I think they pull that off. UConn and New Mexico State. That 5-12 game's always the one you see the upset. Anybody picking the Huskies go down early?
I want to say something like real quick about Connecticut. I watched them earlier in the year, in an overtime basketball game against Auburn, they are a tough ball club.
They
play hard. They get up and down, and I enjoy watching them play. So I'm picking them over New Mexico State. I do not know a lot about New Mexico State, but I know Connecticut, and they're a good ball club.
I'm taking the Huskies. Kind of was looking at it. I was like, you know, and probably they were there for the five seed for a reason. I guess I'm gonna give it to UConn.
Yeah, I gotta give it to UConn too. New Mexico State is usually in that 5-12 matchup, and they usually end up knocking somebody off. But they're a 117 in the BPI. They haven't played a top 25 team this year. Their best win is Davidson by 12, who is a tournament team, but. Not that I don't think New Mexico State is talented, because all teams are talented that make it to this to into March Madness. I don't think we've seen enough against New Mexico State against top competition. I think it's a close ball game. I think it's really, really close because New Mexico State always comes to play, but I think the Huskies do win it late. Arkansas and Vermont. I'm picking the Hogs here.
Arkansas.
I'm going with Vermont in this game.
Wow, there's our first upset.
Okay, my reasoning why. Vermont has won their last 22 of 23 games. They walked through their conference, only lost one conference game. Arkansas, we've seen as the season's going along, we watched them when they played Ole Miss. These guys are tough. They play hard defensively. They're big guys. The thing about them is what Arkansas team is going to show up. And I feel like right now, as they're reeling after getting beat in the SEC tournament, when I thought that they were going to be the guys that will make it to the finals, win that thing, and I feel like they're reeling now. And I feel like Vermont, after rolling through their conference, after winning 22 of 23, I feel like their confidence is up, and I feel like they'll play really well against Vermont.
You know, this seems – and the thing about it is – this seems like an upset that just makes too much sense. So I think that's why I'm not picking it, because Vermont comes in averaging their holding their opponents to 60 points a game. They lost to Providence only by 10 earlier in the year. And Arkansas, like we talked about last week, Arkansas has been really good at points this season. The problem is it's all been inside Bud Walton Arena. It's not been outside of it. So how are they going to fare in Buffalo? But I do think Arkansas pulls it out. I think they just scrape by that upset. Alabama, and then the winner of Rutgers-Notre Dame, who we do not know at the time of this recording. I'll start us off. I believe Notre Dame is going to beat Rutgers, and I'm taking the Fighting Irish to knock off Alabama in my first upset of my bracket.
I'm picking Alabama for a reason, but I am picking Alabama between Rutgers and Notre Dame. If they do get Notre Dame, I think that'll be a really good game. But I think Alabama's really talented, and they're really good for what their record is. I think Alabama is going to get the win.
My X factor in that game, whether it be Rutgers or Notre Dame, is going to be Nate Oates. He was the SEC Coach of the Year last year for a reason. A guy can coach a basketball team, and I really appreciate his playing style. So I'm going to go with Nate Oates led Alabama in that game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Oates is just such a good coach, but you never know what Crimson Tide team you're going to get. And we've talked about, you know, I think the ACC is incredibly down this year, but I'm picking Notre Dame because I simply have more trust in them than I do Alabama. And because I at least know what I'm getting out of Notre Dame. They're not great, but they can put stuff together they need. Alabama beat Gonzaga, the number one overall seed, by 9 earlier in their season. Mm-hmm. Beat Arkansas once. Beat Tennessee by 5. Beat Baylor by 9. Mm-hmm. But then they lose questionable games down the stretch. They're 9-9 in the conference, get upset by Texas A&M in the SEC tournament. Mm-hmm. You just can't figure out this Alabama squad, and I don't trust a team like that heading into March.
I agree with that, but like you said, the wins, I think, sort of speak for themselves.
They do. You know, they do. It shows you this is an Alabama team that, since they fell to 6, they are a team to watch to make a sneaky run into the Elite Eight Final Four. But they're just so inconsistent. You can't pick – it's hard to pick them to make that run.
They're sort of like Arkansas with my argument about them. You don't know which team you're going to get that comes out there and plays.
No doubt about it. Texas Tech and Montana State. Anybody taking Montana State, or are we all going Red Raiders?
Taking the Red Raiders.
I don't know anything about Montana State. I try to do some fact checks on them. Don't know much.
They are 160 in the BPI.
I know Texas Tech is a really solid program, and they're a really good team. Give me the Red Raiders.
Texas Tech has went into Austin early in the year and won, swept Texas, and they picked up huge wins all across the season. I feel like this is one of the safer bets of the tournament. in the round of 64. Michigan State and Davidson. Is anybody taking the Fighting Steph Currys, or is it going to be Tom Izzo?
Michigan State is Blue Bloods in NCAA basketball, so I'm going with them in the first round.
First big upset that I picked, I'm picking Davidson. Give me Davidson over Michigan State. I think it'll be a really good game.
You know, I don't trust Michigan State a ton, but, you know, they do seem like a team. Tom Izzo has that championship pedigree, and they're a team that usually is a top seed getting picked to make a deep run, and then they get upset. So, you know what? I'm going to bet on the opposite. I'm going to bet that they, you know, they do what they're supposed to do. They're a little bit lower ranked than usual as a 7 seed. They kind of slip under the radar and take care of Davidson. Duke and Cal State Fullerton. We all going with the Blue Devils?
Of course.
Especially with a chip on their shoulder. I think this one even, like, of all the 64 games in the first round, this one will not be, like, they will beat this team by 30 points, especially coming off that Virginia Tech.
Okay, so now who do y'all have next? Is it Baylor?
Yeah.
On y'all's?
I have Baylor, yeah.
Grady, is Baylor's on yours? I want to make sure we go in the right order.
Let me see. Where is it at?
It'll be in your top right.
I have Arizona up there.
Scroll down.
Okay, he's looking at it like I am. Okay, yep, great. Great. Baylor, Norfolk State. I'm rolling with the Bears.
Give me the Bears.
Give me the Bears.
Bears, Bears, Bears. North Carolina and Marquette. This is an interesting one at an 8-9 spot.
Give me the Tar Heels, baby. I think they're a tough ball club. We'll watch them play Duke in that final game at Cameron Indoor. So I'm going with the Tar Heels in that win.
So fun fact about me, I actually really like UNC basketball. I really do. I keep up with UNC pretty good. Give me UNC in this game.
I'm going with the Tar Heels as well. St. Mary's and Wyoming and Indiana. Let me try to get a quick update on who was winning that game, because that game is taking place while we are recording. It was actually pretty close going into.
From what I was watching of both them games, they're both about to get smacked by St. Mary's, so it don't matter.
I'm going to say this about this game, and I'm going to get through it. St. Mary's is a team that plays at an uber slow pace. And to win a ball game in March, I feel like you have to play at a pace. Unless you have really good ball handlers, you can't play at that slow pace. I'm going to go with either Wyoming or Indiana in that game over St. Mary's.
Did Indiana get the win?
Indiana was up by 8 the last time I saw. So I'm going to assume Indiana's there. I'm going to go with St. Mary's. I thought about picking this 5-12 upset, but I just don't know. I think in the era of basketball that we see that's so running gun, fast-paced, those teams can catch you off guard. I'm not saying that St. Mary's is built to make a deep run, but I do think that they will be able to pick up a win place if they can just play solid defense and pay to their usual pace of play.
From what I saw between Indiana and Wyoming, I don't think either one of them could. They're not
it was 45-37 with about 10 minutes left in the second half. There's another one great offensively, I don't believe.
Give me St. Mary's.
UCLA and Akron. Anybody rolling with Akron?
Give me the Bruins.
Yeah.
I take
the Bruins. Don't know anything about Akron.
Texas and Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, the ACC champions coming into this one.
Virginia Tech is hot. They're riding off an ACC championship after beating Duke. Texas this year with Chris Beard as their new head coach coming from Texas Tech has had an up-and-down year, I must say, with the Longhorns. Even though it is a 20-win season at Texas, it's sort of a – I mean, as
that's the expectation, not wow.
Yeah, and the thing about that is I feel like the Hokies – are going to pull it out. Virginia Tech is going to get that win over Texas, and that's
great pick. I've got the Hokies as well. I just think, like you said, Virginia Tech's hot. Texas, they beat Tennessee, but besides that, I haven't seen just that marquee wow. Okay, now this is a team I've got to watch for, especially in the late in the conference slate. Virginia Tech is an interesting one because that was a team that I don't know if they were going to make the tournament if they didn't win the tournament. I don't think they were going to. I don't believe they were going to make the tournament if they did not win it. So this is a team that gets hot. Usually those kind of teams end up making at least a 1 or 2 game run deep into the tournament. So I'm going to go with the Hokies.
Yeah, Hokies are riding high. I got them over Texas.
So we all went the upset. Like,
we all went the upset.
It's just there. That is a Cinderella story in the making.
I can see that.
Purdue and Yale. I'm going with the Boilermakers.
Yeah. You're the Boilermakers.
I took the Boilermakers too. Really tough team. Yale, I think, is also a kind of a tough team, but I think Purdue gets it done.
Murray State and San Francisco.
Give me Murray State, 30-2. I mean, they one of the greatest seasons in Murray State history, even after the John Morant era. I knew y'all would like that thrown in there. But I will go with Murray State in this game.
Yeah, I'm picking Murray State over San Francisco.
Yeah, give me Murray State as well in this one. As for, by the way, Murray State, do y'all know their mascot?
No.
The Rough Riders?
The Racers. The
Racers.
Okay. Awesome, awesome mascot, by the way. Kentucky and St. Peter's. I'm rolling with the Wildcats. I don't think they're
fighting Calipari's, baby.
I don't think there has to be more said there.
Yeah.
Arizona as the one seed. I'm going to go ahead on Mac. We advance the moment. I'll let y'all know now. I don't see any 1-16 upsets.
I do not either.
So, Arizona.
Let's make that through there. Seton Hall and TCU.
I'll go with TCU.
Yeah, another upset for me. I got TCU over Seton Hall. I think TCU is really good.
I'm the only one riding with the Pirates, so I'm going to go with Seton Hall. I just don't trust TCU. I think, you know, Seton Hall scores. They score a good bit. They average 73 points a game. They have a win over UConn, a win over Texas, a win over Michigan, beat Xavier twice. I like the Seton Hall team a lot, so I believe that they're a team to watch.
Give me the Horned Frog, baby.
I'm going to go with the Pirates. Houston and UAB.
I don't think Andy Kennedy's going to have enough firepower on this one. I'm going with Houston on this one in the 5-12 matchup.
Complete opposite. I'm taking UAB.
Give me the fighting Andy Kennedys.
UAB is a tough, sneaky team.
They are.
I was looking at making this bracket, and just out of happenstance, I had a YouTube video popped up talking about UAB and how good they were. And it was a guy who was just like, he picked them to go all the way and win the championship. I personally didn't do that, but I think UAB is a really solid team. Andy Kennedy is a great coach. Please come home. Give me UAB.
You know, this is interesting because if you asked the Basketball Power Index, they'd call us crazy because they have Houston at number 2 and UAB at number 47. I just don't think that Houston's as good as that. They've had a really good season, 25-9 in the AAC, but I really do. I mean, I've seen a number 11 Ole Miss team go and no a number 12 Ole Miss team go and beat a 5-seed Wisconsin off high powered guard play, and that's what UAB does with Andy Kennedy this year. I just see the makings of an upset there.
Rocket, you sent it.
Yeah, what?
You send it, UAB?
You got UAB.
I like the point you made, Peyton, about the 5-12 with Wisconsin and Ole Miss.
You got it. You guys throw it in. LaSalle kept us away from the Sweet 16.
What's crazy? We get past LaSalle, that Ole Miss team makes the Elite Eight.
Possibly. Because, yeah, they played another high-seeded team, didn't they?
Yeah.
That was an odd year.
It was an odd year. Illinois and Chattanooga. Anybody rolling with UT Chattanooga, as Dan Mullen would
say? They had the greatest pre-March Madness shot leading into that shot against Furman, the last thing from the timeline to go to the tournament. So I'm rolling with the Chats on this
one
because of the high they were running from that conference championships. I'm going with them over Illinois.
I'm taking the fighting a lot now.
By the way, the Mox is UT Chattanooga's mascot. Another great one. You always got to point out a good, unique mascot.
That's right.
But I'm going to roll with Illinois. That was a great shot. It's an amazing moment. I just don't see Cinderella's slipper fitting twice for Chattanooga. So I'm going to roll with Illinois. Colorado State and Michigan. I like the Big Ten a lot. I think this year they're up there among the best basketball conferences in the nation. I'm going to pick them as an 11-6 upset to knock off Colorado State. Michigan's been inconsistent, but I do think they'll end up pulling this one off.
Yeah, give me the Wolverines in that one. I just changed my pick, by the way. I had Colorado State, started looking at it, and I was like, you know what? I'm feeling an upset, and when I feel an upset, I'm always right. Give me the Wolverines.
I'm taking the Rams.
Colorado State, picked by Grady. Tennessee and Longwood. The Vols, I picked them to win the SEC tournament, and they won it, so I'm rolling with the Vols all the way to New Orleans, maybe, possibly, who knows. But I'm going with the Vols.
I got Tennessee.
Have we talked about the fact that the Final Four is in New Orleans this year? We could conceivably go to the Final Four.
That's awesome. Just know thinking about it.
Either way, just something to think about. But anyway,
I picked the Vols.
Ohio State and Loyola Chicago. Loyola Chicago obviously have made a couple of good runs lately in March Madness. They're a team you always got to watch out for. But like I said, I like the Big Ten a lot this year. I'm going to roll with Ohio State, avoiding the upset there.
Give me Sister Jean. She's winning again. She's going to make that Cinderella run again, so I'm going with Loyola Chicago.
We both put out our phones to Google who she was.
Did you really?
I swear, I was literally typing in Twitter because Ohio State said, "We're trying to beat you," or something like that. Yeah. Give me Loyola Chicago over the Buckeyes.
Oh,
for Sister Jean.
Sister Jean, baby.
That's the title for Sister Jean. Villanova and Delaware. I'm rolling with Villanova. I don't think there's much of a question there.
Villanova is just a basketball school. They literally breed their talent to make the tournament every year. Give me Villanova.
Go Wildcats. Kansas will beat Texas Southern. I think we've all got that, so I'm just going to move on.
Kansas.
San Diego State and Creighton. I'm taking San Diego State. That's just a, you know, they usually put out a pretty good basketball program, but really, if you think about it, San Diego State just has a great athletics program. And that may be a weird reason to base it, but to be honest, you get into mid-major college basketball, and I don't know everything I should. But what I do know is that San Diego State is 30 in the BPI. Creighton is number 70, or actually number 69. Nice. 2-2 versus the top 25. They hold their opponents to 57.5 points per game. Defense travels, boys. I'm rolling with the Aztecs of San Diego State.
I also picked the Aztecs.
I went with Creighton. I remember old Dougie McDermott when they made that run a few years ago.
Dougie McDermott is a legend.
He's a legend. Creighton's a good ball club. They always have a great ball club. They've beaten Villanova this year. They've beaten UConn twice. That's two high-quality quad one wins, so I'm going with Creighton in that ball game.
Iowa and Richmond. Anybody picking that 5-12 upset?
I picked the Hawkeyes.
I got the Hawkeyes. They're a good ball club. I think they won the Big Ten this year, so they're...
Yeah, Hawkeyes, they're just too solid. They're a team to watch to make a deep run. Mm-hmm. Providence and South Dakota State.
Providence.
I picked South Dakota State in the upset.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a big one because I've seen a game or two of Providence, and the Flyers look really good this year.
I think you know how we always have the one big upset of the year? Mm-hmm. That's the one big upset of the year.
That's the Big East regular season champs. The Big East is a tough basketball conference.
I'll respect it. LSU and Iowa State. You know, this seems like the game, you pick the upset because Will Wade gets fired over the weekend. LSU did not go as far in the SEC tournament as you would have hoped. So that's exactly why I'm picking LSU to overcome the odds and win against Iowa State.
I've got LSU as well. I mean, the talent is there. Of course, the coach is not there, and we'll see how that future unfolds for LSU and the entire athletic
department. Will Wade is an overrated coach anyway. Somebody will slot in and do just fine.
I'm fading both of you guys. Give me the Cyclones. I had already picked them before all the stuff with LSU come out. Give me the Cyclones and upset.
You're going with the Fighting KJ Buffins?
Yep.
Did you know he transferred there?
Did not know that.
Mm-hmm. KJ Buffin, he transferred there. Wait, no. It wasn't KJ Buffin that transferred there, was it? It was Blake Henson. Blake Henson transferred to Iowa State. Anyway, Wisconsin and Colgate. I'm going with the Badgers. I'm not going
to
talk much
about that. Man, that's an upset I almost picked, too. Give me the Badgers.
Though. Yeah, no. USC in Miami. I'm going with the Hurricanes here. You know, I talk so much about how I think the ACC is not a great conference, and I picked them just about in every game they played. I feel like they didn't look great this year, but I also feel like when it gets to tournament time, ACC basketball usually just shows out. And I don't trust USC out west. I think the Pac-12 is... I'm gonna get raked over the coals by somebody that watches a lot more college basketball than I. I think the Pac-12 is the worst Power Five basketball conference in the country.
They're the worst Power Five conference in period. Let's be honest.
Yes, but anyway, Miami for me.
UCLA was a good ball club last year, and they were number one at the beginning of the year this year. USC beat them earlier in the year. They've also beaten San Diego State by 15. So USC is a sleeper team that has a lot of talent that I think they can make some waves in the tournament. So I'm going with them over Miami.
Yeah, I'm going with the Trojans. I think Trojans are pretty good. I've watched a little bit of their basketball program. Don't know why, but I did. They look pretty good in the couple games I watched. So give me the Trojans over Miami.
Auburn over Jacksonville State.
Auburn.
The upset's there. If y'all don't think it's not there, y'all crazy. It is there, but I did pick Auburn to win a close one, but the upset is there.
Guys, we're at 43 minutes right now. I don't know.
Flat their picks and get to the final four.
I think all the fans would enjoy a longer episode.
You think so?
Since it's the March Madness, I might as well just...
You know what? What March Madness special? If you don't want to listen to the rest and you want to know our final four picks, skip about 15-20 minutes from now and we will get you there. But either way, for me, round of 32, and I think for all of us, Gonzaga and Memphis. I'm rolling with the Zags to go to Sweet 16.
You the Zags.
I picked the Zags.
All right. UConn and Arkansas. One of
Vermont
you have
for
Vermont.
Me.
Yes. I'm going with UConn here. I don't think Arkansas will last too terribly long. I love the Huskies this year.
They're a tough basketball
team. I'm rolling really with the Huskies.
I picked the Bags. I picked Arkansas.
You picked Arkansas. Who'd you pick over UConn and Vermont?
I had UConn. UConn's a tough basketball team. I think they're going to make some noise as they move along in the tournament.
Okay. Texas Tech versus either Alabama or Rutgers / Notre Dame. I'm rolling with Texas Tech either way, no matter who they face in that one.
I've got Alabama in that game over Texas Tech. The Fighting Nate Oates are going to pull it out. They're going to make it to the Sweet 16 this year.
Roll Tide, roll.
You with me on that? Alabama, the Tide, baby.
Duke and Michigan State, or for Toby Davidson. I think Coach K's Cinderella story ends here. Round of 32 upset. Duke has looked vulnerable at the end of the year. I think Michigan State and Tom Izzo are going to end Coach K's run early.
It's amazing because against Michigan State, right? Well, you always talk about Achilles' heel, the Spartans. It's just a great analogy there. There's gonna be Achilles' heel, and they're gonna end the run.
That's a team that just a couple years back when it was Cam Reddish, Tom Williamson, and RJ Barrett, Michigan State was who put them out. I feel like you're gonna see lightning strike twice. I'm gonna say that Michigan State will beat Duke.
This is why I disagree with you. The writing is on the wall. This is Coach K's last season. The greatest coach in basketball history is retiring. Duke is going to beat Davidson. Give me the Blue Devils.
The writing was on the wall that Coach K was going to have a storybook celebration against his rivals. They won in his final home game, and then they got smacked.
That's why they look. That's why the chip is on the shoulder for Duke. You lost to UNC. You lost to Virginia Tech. This is your final shot to give all the redemption that you need for Coach K. Give me Duke.
Great point, Toby.
Baylor and North Carolina. I'm rolling with the Bears.
I got UNC and upset.
Give me North Carolina. Let's go.
There y'all go. St. Mary's and UCLA for me. I believe one of you had Wyoming or Indiana.
Yeah.
I'm rolling with St. Mary's. I think they make it to the Sweet 16.
Oh, wow. That's a sleeper pick. I like that.
UCLA is a really good ball team. I picked the Bruins over St. Mary's.
Like I said earlier in the year, they were a number one ranked team for about a week there, so I'm going with UCLA. They went to the Final Four last
year. St. Mary, the thing, like you said, they play a slow pace of play, but they...
That sound like a team we know.
I think a team like that can just throw so many teams off. You know, basketball is about two things, in my opinion, more over anything else. Big runs and pace of play. If you can make a team uncomfortable with your pace of play late in the season, it don't matter if you play fast or slow. If you can make them play to your pace of play, then you can beat just about anybody. And I think St. Mary's is going
to
do that.
My thing is, too, in March, especially teams like them, they need to make shots they normally don't make. And that's very much possible. And we'll have to see that as we go along. But I don't see that happening up until the Sweet 16. Of course, you do, and it can happen. But I just...
Virginia Tech and Purdue, for all of us, I don't believe any of us picked Texas.
No.
So I'm rolling with Purdue. I think Virginia Tech gets that big upset win, but then I think it ends there.
Not so fast, my friend. I'm going with the Hokies.
Double not so fast, my friend. Still riding high. I think Virginia Tech beats Purdue. Very close game. I'm calling a buzzer beater game.
He looked at my bracket, I promise you.
I swear I did. It's already been big.
Murray State versus Kentucky. Did you have Murray State as well?
Yeah, I had Murray State.
Okay, I'm rolling with Kentucky here.
Give me the Racers, baby. I'm going with them over Kentucky, Calipari.
Y'all's bracket is just filled with upset.
Usually in March, it seems like Kentucky, most of the time, like we talked about before, Calipari still hasn't broken that ceiling yet of winning a national championship at Kentucky. Or he has with Anthony Davis, I'm sorry. That was a long time ago. Anyways, the Racers are 30-2. They've been at sky high so far for a long time this year, so I'm going with the Racers.
Give me the Wildcats. I think Coach Cal is a really good team, man, and I think Murray State, that's going to be a tough game, but I think Kentucky gets it done.
Yeah, I think Kentucky's going to get it there. You know, this is why, if y'all want to know, my brackets usually don't consist of many upsets. So through the first two rounds, I usually look really good because most games held to chalk. But then you have those two or three sleeper teams that just destroy the rest of my bracket because I didn't pick any deep runs for any sleeper teams. Arizona and Seton Hall and or TCU. I'm rolling with Arizona regardless of the opponent.
Arizona.
I got the Wildcats beating the Horned Frogs.
UAB or Houston versus Illinois or Chattanooga. Grady is rolling with Houston versus Chattanooga. Me and Toby are rolling with UAB and Illinois. I have got Illinois going on.
I got UAB again. Coach Kennedy rocking and rolling. Give me UAB.
I got Houston moving on.
Let's move now. Colorado State or Michigan versus Tennessee. We've all got the Vols there. I've got Michigan. I've got Tennessee moving on to Sweet 16.
Yeah, I've got Tennessee moving on as well.
I got the Vols moving on.
All right. Now, Ohio State or Loyola Chicago versus Villanova. I had the Buckeyes, and I think Villanova. I trust in Villanova. Jay Wright, I think he is a top three coach in the nation. The crazy thing about that is, despite how successful he is, when you talk about top coach in the nation, his name slips your mind.
He's so underrated.
So I think Villanova, they win this time of year. I'm picking them to go to Sweet 16.
I agree. They play basketball up there. That's what they do. And he's a really good coach. He's underrated. And they're always there. They're always Elite Eight, Final Four, and they're never talked about on TV.
Yeah.
But I feel like Villanova's going to keep that run going. Loyola, Chicago, Sister Jean is going to be sent home early this year, so I'm going with Villanova.
Yeah, I think Sister Jean finally runs out. Give me Villanova. In a pretty big win, too. I don't think it'll be a really close game.
Kansas versus San Diego State or Creighton. I had San Diego State, and I'm picking Kansas to go on.
Okay, Kansas. I thought you were saying San Diego State or Kansas. No, I was about to say.
I'm picking the Jayhawks.
Iowa versus Providence, or in Toby's case, South Dakota State. I'm picking the Providence Flyers. I really like this Providence team.
Okay, I like Iowa.
Yeah, I like the Hawks. Give me Iowa.
LSU or Iowa State versus Wisconsin. I like the Badgers there. I think LSU can win one game with their talent, but a coaching change is just too much to make a deep run. I've got the Badgers.
I've got them as well.
I think riding high off of LSU win, give me the Cyclones over Wisconsin.
Miami and or USC versus Auburn. I like Auburn here. You know, Auburn has struggled towards the end of the year, but Bruce Pearl and that group has just looked too good at times for me to not pick them to at least get to the Sweet 16.
I've got Auburn over USC in that game.
I think again, this is another game. If they squeak by in the first round, this is another game that they could very well lose. I think Auburn does just enough to win the game. Give me the Tigers.
Gonzaga, now into the Sweet 16. Gonzaga or versus UConn or Arkansas, based on who you had. I had UConn, and I've got UConn rolling past the number one overall seed. UConn is my sleeper team to watch this year.
I like that. Rolling, like I said, UConn's a great team. They're great to watch. But the Zags with Timmy coming back, and what's the guy, that's, you know his name?
Chet.
Yeah, Chet.
Chet Holmgren.
They've got some dudes that can play. So I'm going to go Gonzaga.
I wanted to pick Gonzaga, but you know what? I also didn't want to pick Gonzaga because I had Arkansas rolling right through him.
Woo-pink,
Suey, Arkansas to the Elite Eight.
Texas Tech for me versus Michigan State. At this point, it's probably going to be easier for all of us to read off our matchup. Texas Tech versus Michigan State for me. I've got Texas Tech. I really like this Tech squad. They're so proven at home and on the road against Big 12 competition. I like Tech.
I have Alabama versus Duke. Again, I think Coach K riding high. It's his last season. Give me Duke over Alabama.
I've got Duke over Alabama as well.
Baylor versus St. Mary's for me. I think that's where St. Mary's run ends. I've got number one Baylor looking for that back-to-back repeat.
I have the Tar Heels facing the Bruins. I think this is going to be a really good game. This could be a sleeper for one of the better games of the year. I think the Bruins will do just enough to beat the Tar Heels.
I'm going with North Carolina Tar Heels. That's an upset over the one seed. I'm going North Carolina over Baylor.
Y'all are high on North Carolina.
North Carolina's a tough
school.
I mean, they're good. Don't get me wrong. They are good. Don't get me wrong. Purdue and Kentucky, I like the Boilermakers over the Wildcats there.
I've got the Hokies and the Wildcats. I think the Hokies finally run out of steam. I think Coach Cal has that Kentucky team playing pretty well, especially coming in after some really big games. I got the Wildcats beating the Hokies.
I've got Murray State over Virginia Tech moving on to play North Carolina. In that game.
Your bracket's wild, G-Hop. It's just wild. Arizona and Illinois for me on the other side of the bracket. I like Arizona.
I have Arizona and UAB, and guess what, boys? Andy Kennedy's got that team rolling. Give me UAB over the Wildcats.
I'm running chalk on that side of the bracket. I've got Arizona over Houston to move on.
Arizona has kind of flown under the radar. You hadn't heard them talked about a lot, even as one
seed. So UAB.
But they've just been so consistent. He's right. Tennessee and Villanova in the bottom side of my bracket. I just got done talking so lovingly about Jay Wright. I gotta roll with the Vols here. I'm rolling with the Vols.
Been rolling with them all postseason.
Man, I got the Vols and Villanova again. I think that's gonna be a really good game. I got the Vols.
That might be the matchup I'm most excited about.
That's gonna be a great game. Two different play styles as well. Yeah. The Big East and then the SEC. Two different brands of basketball. I'm gonna go with Tennessee though. I think they're a really good ball club, and I think they're gonna pull it out.
Kansas and Providence. I was this close to picking the Flyers to go to the Elite Eight, but I just couldn't go with it. I've got Bill Self and Kansas making it to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I got the Jayhawks versus Iowa. Going to be a really fun game. I do got the Jayhawks pulling it out. Give me Kansas over Iowa.
I do as well. I've got Kansas over Iowa.
Wisconsin and Auburn. I'm going with Auburn, which may honestly, like I said, how they played the back half of the season, be almost like an upset, even though they're a two seed. A lot of people would probably see it an upset, Auburn getting to the Elite Eight because of how they played. But I just think Pearl's going to find a way. This Auburn team is just way too talented. They've been way too high points this year. I like them to somehow find a way to get in rhythm, right the ship, and get to the Elite Eight.
You can't create a perfect Pearl unless you put a clam under pressure or something. Give me the Tigers. We're going to win that ballgame.
So before we started recording, Auburn had made it all the way to the Elite Eight for me. Got to this game, Iowa State and Auburn, and I started realizing how much I don't trust Auburn. When I look at Auburn, they scream the Utah Jazz as a number one seed. Give me the Cyclones over the Tigers.
That, you know, have you ever noticed Utah always catches strays from Toby?
They do. They always catch strays.
Elite Eight was going to get traded in the offseason.
Elite Eight now. UConn versus Texas Tech. And let me tell you, if these two teams were on separate sides of the bracket, this might be my national championship. But they're not, and therefore, I just love UConn too much. You just get behind that one team, and you just can't part with them. I can't part with the Huskies here. I've been saying ever since January to myself, I'm not confident enough to say it to everybody else, I really liked UConn. So I'm rolling with UConn to make it to New Orleans. That's my first team to make it to New Orleans.
I have Duke and the Razorbacks. Again, it's Coach K's last season riding high again. Give me Duke over Arkansas.
I went chalk. I've got one Gonzaga and two Duke. And, of course, I'm taking Duke. I'm a Duke guy, so I'm going with Coach K.
Baylor and Purdue down on one side of my Elite Eight. I had Baylor right up until 30 seconds ago, and then I switched it. The Boilermakers, I've been high on them this year. I originally thought Baylor, you know, is too good of a squad to be in a position to have a chance to go back-to-back to not make it back to New Orleans. But I just like Purdue. I think the Big Ten is too good to not have a team represented in New Orleans, and I think Purdue is that team.
I think the Cyclones is – so I got the Cyclones versus Kansas. I think their Cinderella season ends in the Elite Eight. I got Kansas beating Iowa State.
You're on the different side of the bracket.
Yeah, I am, okay.
UCLA and Kentucky. That's
I have – It's UCLA and Kentucky. I guess I'm going Coach Cal over UCLA and Kentucky.
All right. I've got the 7 seed Murray State and the 8 seed North Carolina on the side of the bracket, on the Eastern Regional for my Elite Eight. I think Murray State's magical run comes to an end here. I've got North Carolina as an 8 seed advancing to the Final Four.
Oh, man, that would just write a perfect story.
That's why I did it. I'm writing the perfect story.
It means it's not going to happen, sadly.
Arizona and Tennessee on my other side of the bracket. I talked about Arizona. They're a one seed. They flew kind of under the radar for a lot of teams, a lot of people. But, man, I just can't bet against Tennessee at this point. I think Rick Barnes has got this group rolling at the right time. They really cemented themselves even before the SEC Championship. The reason I picked them, when they had Arkansas at home for the final Saturday before SEC Tournament play and just slacked them up and down the court. So I'm rolling with the Vols to make it New Orleans.
I do as well. I've got Tennessee over Arizona.
I think UAB Cinderella season ends there. I think it'll be a good game, but give me the Vols.
You can't all piggyback on my Tennessee pick. I had them first.
Actually not true, because you made your bracket about 30 minutes
ago. I had them in the SC tournament, but nobody else believed in them.
He did.
Kansas and Auburn for me, and this is where I think it ends. Kansas, I'd like them to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, I picked the Jayhawks over the Cyclones.
And I've got the Auburn Tigers.
Wow, so you got an SEC versus SEC matchup in the...
That's right.
You got an ACC all matchup on one side and an SEC all matchup on the other side.
You got it.
Grady, you freaking mad lad. All right, Final Four. We're in NOLA, baby. UConn and Purdue for me. And I'm rolling with UConn. You get those gut feelings, and this is a gut feeling I've got. I'm rolling with the Huskies to make it back. They've made too many magical Cinderella runs in past years to the national championship game. And even as a 5 seed, that's not even as much of a Cinderella run. But still, I do like them to get past the giant 1, 2, and 3 seeds and make it to the national championship game.
If this game happens that I have made for my Final Four, the tickets will be selling for $10,000, $20,000, $30,000,
$40,000.
Yes. And it will be every Blue Bud person that watches college basketball in the arena. Duke and North Carolina on the Final Four, and I have Coach K winning that game. His redemption story after losing in Cameron Indoor in his last regular season ball game, he will get his revenge, defeat North Carolina, and advance to the national championship.
So I got Duke and Kentucky, and this is why, again, I want to piggyback. Coach K, man, this is his redemption. This is it. They're going completely just balls to the wall, per se, that they're going out to try to go on top. I wanted to pick Coach Cal in Kentucky. The reason why I did it is because I do like Coach Cal. He always gets a team to the Final Four and cannot win the big one. I got Duke over Kentucky in a classic.
Christian Leitner, Tommy.
Yeah.
On the other side, Tennessee and Kansas. I told you, I get those gut feelings. Tennessee didn't prove me wrong. I'm picking them to get past Gilsell.
Oh, man.
I also picked the Vols to win it and go to the national championship game.
Stop, Toby.
I've got the Pearls again. I like the clam
wow.
Pressure. They're going to produce a pretty Pearl. So I'm going Auburn and Duke in my national championship.
All right, so Grady has Auburn, Duke. Toby has Duke, Tennessee, and I have Tennessee and UConn. Grady, start us out with your national championship game. And since it has to be put in there, give us your final score as well.
A storybook ending to an amazing career over 40 years in college basketball. Coach K will end his career on top, defeating Auburn 67-64. An amazing ball game where Coach K gets to hold the championship trophy and kiss his wife and have his kids there and walk off the court a champion.
I like the pick, man. And just to completely reiterate, to get the job done when everybody kind of wrote you off, when you lose to UNC your last game, when you lose the ACC championship game, everybody's saying, well, maybe this season just really wasn't the send-off he needed. They're going to send it off in a way. In a 76-68 win, I got the Blue Devils beating the Tennessee Volunteers. Book it.
What's your score?
76-68.
Okay. So y'all just going Duke with the storybook ending. I've got two. I've got two teams that I've just got those gut feelings for in the finals. UConn is a team that has been here often, and especially in the past decade. They've won two national championships, I believe, made it to a third where they lost to Kentucky. There's a team that's battle-tested year in and year out in the Big East. They sport wins over teams like Villanova, Auburn, Seton Hall, and among others. And Rick Barnes, a big thing about that group has been that when they get to the tournament, they don't perform like they should. So it seems obvious. Give me the balls, not so fast, Toby. 76-72. I believe that Rick Barnes and the SEC Vols will be cutting down the nets in March.
This man is a bleeding orange and white this month.
They're Nick Garbage, y'all.
March.
Stop, you'll always be home sweet home to me.
Just remember, this guy goes to Ole Miss.
Oh, man. But, yeah, no doubt. That is who I've got, Tennessee. I've got them rolling. And it's probably a stupid pick, but when you pick them to win and they prove you right, you just got to roll.
You got to keep rolling with them.
I don't think it's a stupid pick. I think they're both in agreement. I think they're a great team.
Yeah.
Even if they don't make it to the Final Four, I think that is an Elite Eight team at least in the bare minimum.
No doubt about it. I think all of our picks had merit. You know, you talk to a lot of people, you see a lot of picks where people just kind of throw stuff off the wall. I don't feel like that was any of our case. I think we all tried to back it up with something. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see in our little bracket challenge on ESPN who comes out.
I'm ready to see Andy Kennedy's extension when he takes
it. Do we want to make a bet right now what the winner and or the worst bracket gets?
We need to right now before we even get into it. What will the loser do? Because we never really did our Super Bowl punishment. So what can
Toby
we do?
And Garrett ducked it.
I didn't duck it. I told him I was ready. Garrett's the one who backed out and decided to go to some random Ole Miss game.
You can loser has to wear a white shirt that's sharpied with any message that the group decides. It obviously can't be something that gets kicked out of college.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it can be something really stupid or on the line. Have to wear it on campus with video evidence. Yes.
To class.
With video evidence. Deal? Loser?
Deal.
All
right. We made the deal for Chuck and Garrett and Buzz as well.
Yeah.
Corey is with us, but obviously he's graduated, so we don't account for that.
Yep.
Winner.
He has to wear it to work.
Winner. The winner is also a little bit of an extra thing for the loser. Worst has to buy the best canes.
Okay.
That's pretty simple as well. I think the group should buy them a Final Four t-shirt and they can wear it.
That's dope. You know what? Let's do that instead. Yeah. No canes. I like that grading.
Buy them a Final Four t-shirt.
The rest of the group has to come together and buy the winner a Final Four t-shirt. Now, so that'll be it for us, y'all, this episode. I mean, it went an hour, but it really flew by.
Yeah, we were all planning that once we got to about the 45-minute range that we would go through the 32 and it'd take us another 45 minutes. So we got really close. This was a great, great episode. I think this March Madness is going to be really, really good.
No doubt about it.
There's no clear winner in
there's not. I love that's why. Yeah. Like in years past, we've had Gonzaga, who was undefeated last year. You had the Kentuckys, the Kansases, the Dukes, of course. This year, they were talking the other day on the bracketology with all the guys that do the brackets, and they were saying there's 20 to 30 teams this year.
I was going to say, there's conceivably, I look at the bracket just off the top of my head, there's 15 teams I can see in it. And I can back it, I feel like, with a decently valid reason.
And Thursday and Friday, for any basketball fans, like Christmas morning over and over again. Wake up, there's a basketball game from 11 o'clock to 10:30 at night.
Absolutely.
So it's beautiful.
But no doubt about it. But I think that's going to wrap it up for us, guys. What a fun episode. Thank you so much for listening alongside us. Look out on our Twitter, which you probably already saw the link to get here. But if not, we'll be releasing our top 25 for college baseball very soon, if not before this episode. So make sure you go check that out. And be on the lookout as we will probably next week talk a little bit about the first two rounds, talk a little bit of college baseball, and maybe some NFL free agency. We're getting into that. Plenty of news we didn't talk about today. We'll need to get on that next week.
Plenty of baseball news, too.
Baseball news. Next week is going to be a big episode. Make sure you don't miss it. At Sports Hour Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Follow there for links to listen alongside. But if there's nothing else,
maybe we can have some Carlos Correa news next week.
Yeah, Toby just looking for it. But for Grady, for Toby, I'm Peyton Taylor saying so long, God bless, and we'll see you next week. Happy March Madness to all who celebrate. Goodbye, everybody.